Tonight, the growing concern, the Delta variant, the hospital ERs filling with patients, and the doctor who says she has had to tell young COVID patients in the hospital begging for a vaccine, "I'm sorry, but it's too late." The Delta variant now making up 83% of new cases in the U.S., now averaging more than 35,000 new cases a day, more than 1,000 cases an hour. And the concern over breakthrough cases in the U.S., infected children, those under 12 not eligible for the vaccine. 23,000 pediatric cases reported in the last week. Hospitalizations now on the rise in at least 36 states, and tonight, the renewed debate here just as parents send their children back to school. Should there be masks in schools to protect everyone? Parents divided, and in one state tonight, children are already going back, and we're there. Also tonight, the concern at the Olympics. Team USA reporting more athletes testing positive just 2 days before the official start of the Summer Games in Tokyo. A volleyball player becoming the second American to test positive since arriving in Japan. Now nearly 80 people inside the Olympic bubble testing positive. Amy Robach in Tokyo tonight. Back here at home, the political storm on Capitol Hill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejecting two Republicans for the January 6th Select Committee that will investigate what led to the attack on the Capitol on democracy. The speaker drawing fire tonight, acknowledging the move is unprecedented, but necessary, she says, given the men's actions. America's top general speaking out for the first time after the bombshell reporting that he was concerned about a possible coup attempt by President Trump to stay in power. What he said today when asked about that reporting. Martha Raddatz standing by. The big test vote today for bipartisan efforts to agree on President Biden's $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan, repairing bridges and roads, among other things. Not one Republican vote today. But tonight, why that doesn't mean this is a done deal. Rachel Scott with the bottom line. She's live on the Hill. The severe storms across the Northeast at this hour, thunderstorms, heavy rain and hail. The smoke-filled skies in the east from the fires in the west. So what comes next? Rob Marciano with the latest track.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the growing concern over the surge in new COVID cases across this country, fueled by the highly contagious Delta variant among the unvaccinated and the breakthrough cases among people who are vaccinated. Health officials continue to say the vast majority of breakthrough cases are mild thanks to the vaccine, but it's still rattling many. Tonight, the hospital ERs filling with patients, many of them young, who did not get vaccinated, and a doctor who reportedly said that she's had to tell young patients in the hospital begging her for that vaccine, "I'm sorry, but it's too late." New COVID cases rising to more than 35,000 a day. That's up nearly 60% in a week. Tonight, more than 23,000 new pediatric cases reported just in the past week. That's twice as many as we were seeing just a couple of weeks ago at the end of June. And as schools in Chandler, Arizona, right there, reopened today, the renewed debate across this country over masks in schools. The American Academy of Pediatrics, as we reported here, now recommending masks for all children and adults in school, even those who are vaccinated, to protect everyone. But parents, as you'll hear right here tonight, are divided. And the numbers tonight, 186 million Americans have received at least one dose of vaccine, 65% of people 12 years and older. ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off.
Tonight, the coronavirus roaring back in the U.S. Daily cases tripling in the last month to more than 35,000 per day.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
And growing concern for unvaccinated kids. More than 23,000 new pediatric cases in the last week, nearly double the number reported at the end of June. In Georgia, the family of Wyatt Gibson says he was a healthy five-year-old before he contracted COVID, strep, and staph, passing away from a massive stroke on Friday. His father, a sheriff's deputy, writing on Facebook, "I have lost my best friend." Across the country, nearly 22,000 Americans hospitalized with the virus. Doctors in Las Vegas say they're reliving last winter's surge all over again.
They're so sick currently that the doctors are talking about doing tracheostomies on all of these patients.
In Alabama, Dr. Brittany Cobia says she's seeing healthy young people with serious COVID infections. Writing on Facebook, one of the last things they do before they're intubated is beg me for the vaccine. I hold their hand and tell them that I'm sorry, but it's too late. She goes on to say, after patients die, I hug their family members and I tell them that the best way to honor their loved one is to go get vaccinated and encourage everyone they know to do the same. They cry and they tell me they didn't know. They thought it was a hoax. The Delta variant, now estimated to make up 83% of new cases in the U.S., raising questions about breakthrough infections. Officials in Provincetown, Massachusetts, tracking at least 132 COVID cases after the 4th of July, saying the vast majority are among those already vaccinated experiencing mild symptoms. While the vaccines have been effective at preventing severe illness, former director of the CDC, Dr. Tom Frieden, says we need to learn more about breakthrough cases.
Breakthrough infections are concerning, and that's why we need to look at who people are, where they are, and what they're doing. So if you've got an immunosuppressive condition, you're going to want to be more careful.
In San Antonio, the Shute family was fully vaccinated, but 4 out of 5 family members got breakthrough infections. Their symptoms mild or none at all. For that, they credit the vaccine.
I'm very thankful we got it. Thinking about how bad it could have been if we had not had this boost in our immune system, we could have ended up in the hospital.
Real concern tonight for the unvaccinated and how quickly this is spreading. Obviously, also concern over the breakthrough cases, and with the former CDC director saying today in that interview that more cases are to be expected. And I know authorities are saying the vast majority of these cases are mild, but still it's making people nervous who went out of their way to get the vaccine and now are seeing some of these breakthrough cases pop up with people they know.
David, Dr. Frieden says as the virus spreads rapidly across the country, you will have more of these breakthrough infections as well. And while those who are vaccinated are much less likely to suffer from severe illness, there will be those rare incidents of hospitalization and even death. That's why he says it's so critical for more people to get vaccinated to slow this virus down. David.
Wade Johnson battling the ambulance siren there, and we heard just about every word, Wade. Thank you. And as I mentioned off the top tonight, a renewed debate with this variant spreading so quickly among the unvaccinated. Millions of school children under 12 still not eligible for the vaccine just as they prepare to head back to school. So should students be wearing masks? Tonight, parents are divided. ABC's Kana Whitworth in Chandler, Arizona, where you're about to hear the arguments parents are making on both sides. But the American Academy of Pediatrics tonight urging parents to have your children vaccinated or not to wear masks to protect everyone.
Tonight, with millions of children under 12 still not able to get the COVID vaccine, a renewed debate over masks as the Delta variant spreads across the U.S. and students return to school. In Arizona, the Chandler Unified School District opening its doors today with no mask regulations in place, leaving that decision to parents. Jennifer Lewis's sixth grader, Kellen, is too young to be vaccinated and lives in a multi-generational household. She decided he'll wear a mask in school.
So you wish there was a mask mandate in place?
I do.
Yeah.
I wish there was.
I don't want to get sick and bring it home to my mom and my grandma.
Arizona is seeing a rise in daily infections. In Maricopa County alone, daily cases have increased nearly 75% in the last week. The state among 8 where lawmakers have banned districts from enforcing mandatory mask wearing, despite urging from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Still, families like the O'Briens say they welcome being able to make their own decisions about their second grader, Addison.
If we're asked to wear masks, great. And if we don't have to wear masks, great. And as long as everybody's okay with that, we're okay with that.
And David, Arizona's governor also banning school districts from mandating quarantine for potentially exposed students. And some concerned parents are asking the state health department to reinstate those restrictions. David.
The debate will rage on in the coming weeks. Kana, thank you. There is also concern in Tokyo tonight. Team USA now reporting another athlete testing positive just 2 days before the official start of the summer games. Now nearly 80 people inside that Olympic bubble testing positive. ABC's Amy Robach from Tokyo tonight.
Tonight, more athletes from Team USA benched by COVID-19. A beach volleyball player, now the second American to test positive after arriving in Japan. USA Volleyball stating that in alignment with local rules and protocols, the athlete has been transferred to a hotel. Olympic competitions getting off to a muted start today. The IOC reporting at least 79 people in the Olympic bubble now have COVID.
Here in Tokyo, there are no signs. There are no banners. There's nothing that feels like this is a city hosting a worldwide event.
The number of COVID-19 infections in this area now up 155% from last week. The WHO Director General praising Olympic organizers for keeping the games going in the shadow of a pandemic.
The mark of success is making sure that any cases are identified, isolated, traced, and cared for as quickly as possible. And onward transmission is interrupted.
First Lady Jill Biden has landed in Alaska, David, on her way here to Tokyo. White House has said that she is following strict COVID-19 protocols and that rather than meeting with Team USA athletes in person, she will be doing a virtual get-together with them. David?
All right, Amy Robach in Tokyo. Amy, we'll see you in the morning on GMA. Back here at home tonight, the political storm unfolding on Capitol Hill today after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two Republicans for the January 6th Select Committee that will now investigate what led to the attack on the Capitol on democracy. The speaker drawing very strong criticism tonight for the move. She acknowledged the move is unprecedented, but necessary, the speaker claims, given the men's actions. So what were those actions and how are they responding tonight? Here's our senior national correspondent, Terry Moran in Washington.
Tonight, as Congress moves to investigate what led to the violent insurrection at the Capitol, Speaker Nancy Pelosi making a stunning and unprecedented move. Declaring the integrity of the investigation was at stake, Pelosi rejected two Republican congressmen, Jim Jordan of Ohio and Jim Banks of Indiana, hand-picked by the GOP leadership to sit on the special committee. Pelosi said she had concern about some of their statements and actions. Within hours, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy made his decision, threatening to pull all Republicans off the committee.
Pelosi has created a sham process. Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republicans, we will not participate.
Both Jim Banks and Jim Jordan voted to overturn the election after the insurrection, and Jordan has repeatedly attacked the idea of an investigation.
They just want to be partisan. They just want to continue to attack the former president. They want to play their political games.
In May, Republicans in both the House and Senate blocked an independent 9/11-style commission to investigate January 6th, which would have been made up of Republicans and Democrats outside Congress. Now, Pelosi says they're still moving forward with the select committee.
We have a bipartisan quorum.
Bipartisan because there will be one Republican on the committee, whatever McCarthy says. Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who voted to impeach Donald Trump because of his actions on January 6th.
At every opportunity, the minority leader has attempted to prevent the American people from understanding what happened, to block this investigation.
All right, Terry Moran, that was from Liz Cheney late today. And even if Liz Cheney is just the one Republican remaining, this committee will move forward. The first hearing next week.
That's right, David. The first hearing next Tuesday, a committee made up of seven Democrats and Liz Cheney, all handpicked by Nancy Pelosi. The first witness is some Capitol police officers who were attacked during that insurrection. Republicans are talking about having their own hearings. All this looks likely to divide this divided country even further. David?
Terry Moran, live in Washington. Terry, thank you. And also from Washington tonight, America's top general speaking for the first time after the bombshell reporting that he was concerned at one point about a possible coup attempt by President Trump to stay in power. But what he said today when asked about that reporting, and here's Martha Raddatz.
Today, in his first appearance after reports that Milley was deeply worried about a coup attempt to keep President Trump in office and the disturbing rhetoric swirling around him, referring to some hardcore Trump followers as Nazi brown shirts, General Milley would not talk specifics, but neither did he deny the reports.
All of us in uniform, we take an oath to a document, an oath to the Constitution of the United States.
Last year, Milley publicly apologized after walking across Lafayette Square with President Trump after Black Lives Matter protesters were forcibly cleared from the area, saying it left the impression the military was involved in domestic politics, today reiterating his concerns.
And our oath is to the Constitution, not to any individual at all. And the military did not and will not and should not ever get involved in domestic politics. We don't arbitrate elections.
And by his side today, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who, while in uniform, served with Milley for decades.
I'm not guessing at his character. He doesn't have a political bone in his body.
And David, no surprise, Donald Trump said there was never a coup attempt. David?
Martha Raddatz live in Washington. Martha, thank you. And now to that big test vote today in the continuing bipartisan efforts to agree on President Biden's $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan. Not one Republican vote for this today. But as Rachel Scott reports tonight, that doesn't mean that this won't happen. She's on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, Senate Republicans unanimously blocking an effort to move forward on a bipartisan infrastructure package.
Collins, no.
Republicans say they needed more time to finalize a deal, but this Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took a gamble, forcing a vote to jumpstart the process.
Even Republicans have agreed that the deadline has moved them far more quickly.
Lawmakers have been working to reach a deal on a $1.2 trillion package.
How long are you willing to give these bipartisan negotiations?
My fear is that we could see a repetition of what we saw with the Affordable Care Act, where discussions went on and on and on and never went anyplace.
Schumer's gamble may have paid off. Some Republicans say they want a deal by the weekend.
And if there's a vote Monday, you will vote yes?
Well, we got to finish it, yeah.
And in a statement tonight, that bipartisan group of senators says that they have made significant progress. Just moments ago, President Biden was asked if he thinks they will reach a deal. The president responding, yes, we will. David?
Rachel Scott tracking it all, as always. Thank you, Rachel. When we come back here, the severe storms across the Northeast as we were coming on tonight. Thunderstorms, heavy rain and hail. And what about the smoke-filled skies in the east from the fires in the west? Rob Marciano standing by with it all.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are tracking severe storms across the Northeast, already moving up the coast with driving wind and rain in Alexandria, Virginia there. Quarter-sized hail in Abington, Pennsylvania. This system and the rain will help to clear the haze still seen in New York City from the fires in the west. And we are mindful those fires do continue. So let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, tracking it all coast to coast tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. As you mentioned, most of the strong storms have been south of here, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, the Delmarva, Maryland, seeing 64-mile-per-hour wind gusts. That front squeezing everything out and mixing up the air from that smoke that's burning all those fires in the west, where red flag warnings and excessive heat warnings remain up. Dangerous dry lightning there expected tomorrow. David?
Rob Marciano with us. Rob, thank you. And the weather disaster we're tracking from central China tonight. Torrential rain, the worst in generations, flooding parts of Henan Province, trapping passengers inside this subway car. Kindergartners rescued from their flooded school, floated in buckets out of the neck-deep water there. More than a million people forced from their homes, at least 25 killed. China's military blasting a dam to release floodwaters there. There is news tonight about legendary college football coach Bobby Bowden, Florida State's former coach, revealing he's been diagnosed with a terminal medical condition. The 91-year-old not revealing what he's battling, but saying tonight, "I am at peace." He was treated for COVID in October. Bowden winning 377 games and two national championships during his 44-year career. Our thoughts are with him tonight.
And news on life expectancy in the U.S., the steepest decline since World War II. A new federal report tonight finding life expectancy dropping 1.5 years in 2020 on average to an average of 77.3 years. Hispanic and black Americans among the most affected. The drop, of course, fueled by this toll from this pandemic. Made in America is back, grilling something new. Tonight, our Made in America is back, a 139-year-old company reinventing itself during the pandemic. Golden's Cast Iron in Columbus, Georgia, family-owned since 1882, founded by brothers John and Theodore Golden, six generations. For years, making factory parts and parts for ships, then home fire pits and grills. The newest coming off the line, every one of them marked Made in the USA, 1882.
Hey, David.
Chef Matthew Statham with his Golden's Cast Iron Grill.
Just when you look at it, you can tell it's built to last generations. And the fact that it's made in America is just icing on the cake.
And during the pandemic, they added something else.
Hey, David.
George Golden Boy Jr., fifth generation. With so many gyms and fitness centers closed, Americans were buying fitness equipment, but everything was sold out.
Kettlebells were coming from China. Now that product wasn't here, Americans couldn't get kettlebells.
So Golden's got in on the game.
All the team here was scrambling to figure out how to make these things. And we did.
Foreman John Tolan.
David, these are weights made by Golden's foundry, shipped all over the country.
219 workers across two factories, six new hires. The steel from Georgia and Alabama heating it to 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit. Freddie Cook on the line 21 years.
It's a good feeling to work here at Golden's. I did a job well done.
50,000 dumbbells and 15,000 kettlebells. Thankful for their new boom in business, with three words in mind tonight.
Made in America!
The dumbbells and kettlebells made here. See you tomorrow. Good night.